Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And today, we continue with our study of the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We're live, on the air, online, and on Facebook, and we thank you for joining us. We'll be picking up on page 63, chapter 9, something about letting go, Bob, and I think it's going to be a very interesting study as always. Now, because this is a study edition of Basic Gospel, the phone lines are not open for today's broadcast. So, let's get underway, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, Bob, this is a very important topic because it's the topic of forgiving yourself. And I know there's many people who say, and we've heard this comment time and time again, I know that God has forgiven my sins, but I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. And maybe you listening to this broadcast today have said the same thing. You might be struggling with forgiving yourself right now, letting go of those past sins. Well, we hope this lesson will be of great benefit to you. But the fact of the matter is the Bible doesn't address that. There's not a single verse in the Bible that talks about forgiving yourself. It is always in terms of God forgiving our sins, because God was the one that was ultimately offended. And so he originated forgiveness. He released us from our debt by sending Jesus to stand in our place. And as we've said so many times, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That is Hebrews 9:22, and it is one of those verses you just have to underline, memorize, star, and just put it in the bank as kind of a foundational verse. Everything about forgiveness hinges on the fact that blood was shed, and Jesus was the one that shed his blood so that we could receive forgiveness. So that's the reality of forgiveness, and that's what the Bible teaches us about forgiveness, that God has forgiven our sins. C.S. Lewis put it this way, I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Our standards certainly aren't higher than his, are they? So if God has chosen to forgive our sins, then I think it's time for us to let go as well. Yeah. And I think this lesson is going to help us let go of those past sins, because so many people allow those past sins to define who they are today. And I've talked to people who know the Bible backwards and forwards. They know all of the verses about God's love. They know all of the verses about their identity in Christ, but somehow it doesn't connect with their hearts, because in their hearts they still see themselves as that person who did those grotesque sins. Yeah. That's who I am. That's my real identity. I'm an adulterer. I'm a this. I'm a that. And so all of those passages about God's love, they're up there in the head, but they've never made the heart connection. And so we hope to bring it down to the heart so that you can see who you really are in Christ and the forgiveness that you have. It is interesting. You can find a lot of help on how to forgive yourself on the internet. You can Google that, and you can come up with all sorts of things. Oprah has some help on forgiving yourself. Deepak Chopra has some help on forgiving yourself. Even the University of Stanford, Stanford University, has weighed in on that through their Stanford Forgiveness Project. And the fact that a major university, especially of that ilk, would engage in a study on forgiveness is quite stunning. You wouldn't expect that, but they've done some study and on forgiveness, and they found that it's a valuable thing. Well, we're glad to know that. But as far as self-forgiveness is concerned, we have to really rely on the forgiveness of Christ, and we have to rest in that. And if he's let go of our sins, if he has sent them away once and for all, if he chooses to remember them no more, then we need to allow that truth to shape our thinking as far as us letting go of our sins as well, and choosing to send them away and choosing to remember them no more as far as our identity is concerned, as far as our relationship with God is concerned. That's where we're going to find victory. That's where we're going to find real hope. So let's start. We're going to ask a question about how we might hold on to some of these past sins. And the writer of Hebrews gives us a warning. And I think this is really the place for us to start as far as forgiving ourselves is concerned. It's Hebrews 12:15, and we ask the question on the top of page 64, what warning does Hebrews 12:15 give to us? And here's what the verse says: see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So the warning is to see to it that no one misses the grace of God. And one of the ways that we miss it is by holding on to past sins, allowing those past sins to define us. And when we allow the past sins to define us, we see bitterness growing up inside of us, and we see people who are troubled. If you've let go of those past sins, you're not a troubled soul. Your soul is at rest. Yeah. You can actually sing that song, "It is well with my soul." But if you are holding on to those past sins, if you are letting those things define and shape who you are today, you're going to have bitterness in your heart. That bitter root is going to continue to grow deeper and deeper inside of you, and you're going to become more troubled as time goes on. And we've met people like that, and maybe we've experienced that in our own lives. And especially if you come out of a legalistic background, I think that's a very troubling thing, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Not that you have any experience in that.
No, not at all. Yeah, but yeah, it's like you discover that God has forgiven you of everything you could have ever done, and the chains fall off. And then you spend the next 3 days gathering up all that stuff to carry it in your arms, and you wonder why you're bitter. Because that's what it does. It makes you bitter. It has to.
Yes.
Because as long as you're focusing on your sinfulness, especially the past stuff, you just can't look at Jesus. You can't accept the grace that he's given you, so of course you're going to fall short of it. Let go of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and you can't look at your sinfulness from a future perspective.
Oh, no. No, it's all the past.
I mean, you might can project and think, hey, I'm going to continue to do this, but it really is all about the past, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as Peter said, we become nearsighted and blind because we have forgotten that our past sins have been forgiven. And as far as our sins are concerned, in our experience, everyone is in the past.
Everyone.
Every single one of them. We may commit one right now, but as soon as it's done, it's in the past. And what do we know about that sin? It has been forgiven in Christ Jesus because he shed his blood once and for all. And because we have received Christ, we have forgiveness for that sin. Mm-hmm. So that is truth. So this bitterness can grow inside of us. It can become a root that just grows deeper and deeper inside of us. And then that root can cause trouble and defile many.
Yes.
So if you're a troubled soul, if you are having trouble letting go of the past, what is the cause of that? You have fallen short of the grace of God. And where's the first place that the grace of God applies? Forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace. That's how Paul put it in Ephesians. Mm-hmm. So our forgiveness is a gift of grace.
Yeah.
So if we're having trouble forgiving ourselves, it's because we've fallen short of that grace. We haven't fully received that grace in our own lives. So that's where we need to start. So what then is the solution to forgiving yourself? Is it an exercise that you need to do, or is it simply humbling your heart and receiving and saying thank you for the forgiveness that you have in Christ? And as you receive and say thank you, you're going to see those hands starting to open up and those past sins starting to slip away from your grip.
Yeah.
So it's all about the grace of God. There is no practice that you can do to get rid of the past and to free yourself from that other than the grace of God, as far as I know. Now, maybe Deepak and Oprah and some of these others have some other clues, but ultimately it has to get back to the grace of God, doesn't it? because anything else is just simply mental gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And we don't want mental gymnastics. We don't want spinning, you know, a new spin on our lives. We want truth. We want reality. And the truth is that Christ shed his blood once and for all.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to the Basic Gospel Friday study edition with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. It's called, of course, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study, and it's from the study guide. And if you'd like to gain full assurance of your salvation, of your forgiveness, your experience of victory over sin, and see the power that at work that raised Jesus from the dead, well, it's all there in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You'll find the book and the study guide when you visit the special website, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We continue with our study now from that study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. So now we're going to explore a couple of the reasons that may cause us to hang on to those past sins. Some things just from a human perspective. The real cause is that we have fallen short of the grace of God. Well, here's some of the things that become obstacles that make us fall short of that.
Yes.
And the first one is this idea that we're basically good.
Yeah.
Now, that really is an issue of pride. And so these past sins, we think, you know, I shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm better than that. And so we keep trying to erase the past through better efforts today. And we keep seeing these things kind of recycle through in our lives. And yet we don't want to grab hold of the grace of God because we're still holding on to that idea that we're basically good. Now, that's why so many people have trouble even receiving the gospel, receiving Christ to begin with.
Yeah, I don't need him.
I don't need him. I'm basically good. I remember years ago there was a famous shock jock on the radio, and he made some comments about a female basketball team that he thought would be funny, and they were racially inspired, and it just caused an outrage.
Yeah.
And you know, he tried to explain it, but didn't give a whole lot of apology and that sort of thing. And finally, the network came down and said, "Your job is on the line." So he called the press conference and made a small apology to the team, but then spent the rest of the time talking about how good he was. And at the end of it, he said, "I don't need a come to Jesus meeting. Look at all these good things that I'm doing."
Yeah.
So I'm basically a good person who said a bad thing. There are other people. There was one lady that stabbed her husband. And she had just gotten tired of all of his shenanigans and just stabbed him. And in the court, guess what she pleaded? "I'm basically a good person. And if you would live in with this guy, you would have done the same thing. But I'm basically good." Well, if you're basically good, you don't need the forgiveness of God. And so you're left to deal with your past through your own human effort, through your own resources. So you're never going to grab a hold of the forgiveness that you have in Christ if you think that you're basically good. So let's look at a couple of passages. In Mark chapter 10, I love this passage. It just absolutely explodes the myth that we're basically good. So, Richard, why don't you read that passage for us? Mark 10, 18.
"Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone."
Uh-oh. Wow.
Yeah, that sort of caps it right there. Yeah.
So a couple of points in this particular verse. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." So what testimony was Jesus making about himself in receiving that that compliment that he was good?
That he was God.
That he was God. So he was saying to those who were questioning him that he was God in human flesh. So first and foremost, we have that theological information that Jesus gave to us. But the other side of it is that if God is the only one who is good, then what about us? Where does that leave us? We can't claim that we're basically good, can we?
Well, we're just not.
Yeah. So anybody that's claiming that they're basically good is not speaking truth about themselves and is keeping themselves from receiving the grace of God that's been offered to them through Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. So the first step in receiving the grace of God is recognizing that you actually need the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And if once you do that, then you will be able to let go of those past sins. Yeah. That's just how it works. So let's go further into this. This isn't the only place where we learn about the goodness of God and the fact that he's the only one good. We learn some other specific things about us. So in Romans 3:10, we see some very harsh words about humanity. And what were those, Richard?
As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one.
Wow. So what does that mean? I mean, certainly there's some good things going on out there in the world. We see some stories, for example, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on the NBC network. They have a little segment every morning, tell me something good. And so they highlight a positive story, somebody doing something of benefit to someone else. So what is Paul and what is the scripture really talking about, the fact that there's no one who does good, not even one? What does that mean?
Well, in this passage, Paul has been comparing Jews and Gentiles, that is the whole world, and demonstrating that in and of ourselves, inherently, there is nothing that matters to God. We are anti-God. We're dead spiritually. So how can we matter to God in terms of good and bad? We're just simply dead. Therefore, no one is righteous. No one can claim to be anything other than a dead, spiritually dead, walking corpse. That doesn't mean we can't do good things for each other, but as far as God is concerned, what he is looking for, the inherent goodness that he has, we don't. Therefore, none of us have anything to offer.
So we've all turned away.
Yeah.
We've all turned away. When we come into this world, our hearts are in a totally different direction than God. Mm-hmm. They're not turned toward God, and that's what repentance is all about, a turning of the heart away from sin and the things of the world to God that has been revealed to us in the person of Christ. That's repentance. Mm-hmm. But until that happens, our hearts, no matter how good we want them to be and no matter how many good deeds that we do, they're turned in the wrong direction. Yep. And so the result is always going to be negative, is always going to be sinful. Whatever is not of faith is sin. When we were lost, dead spiritually, we weren't operating by faith. We were operating by fleshly desire. Sin was our master. Yep. And the only thing that's going to come out of that is sin, just plain and simple. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what this passage goes on to say. That's the conclusion as far as man is concerned. But God has justified us freely by his grace.
Yes.
So if you don't recognize the truth, and if you're saying you're basically good, you're not recognizing the truth that the Bible reveals about you as a human being. And if you're not recognizing the truth, then the fact that God has freely justified us in Christ doesn't matter. That's of no value to you.
That'd be just so much noise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in Jeremiah 17, we read something about the heart, and that's really the crux of the matter when it comes to the problems of the world. It's the heart of man.
Yes.
That's where all of these things originate. And Jeremiah put it this way, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And I think we would all testify to the reality of that our hearts are deceitful. We think we're doing something good, but if we examined our heart, we would see all kinds of negative motivations. you know, I'm not doing it to actually help these people. I want a little publicity. I want people to think that I'm good. I want people to see me in a better light than I really have. And so we do it for the pats on the back. We do it for the public praise. We do it for all of these selfish reasons. But still, some goodness and kindness is given.
Yes.
But when we examine the motivation, it can be all over the place. And so we dare not go there. And I think most people don't. So the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, God understands it. He knows us backwards and forwards better than we know ourselves, and he has a cure for the heart in Jesus Christ. There's not one out there in the world. There's not a law. There's not a government. There's not a single philosophy out there in the world that can touch the human heart, that can change it and transform it. That's a work that only God can do. And that work happens through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we believe, something happens to this heart. Well, let's go on to this last verse. It's Romans 4:5. Who does God justify or declare righteous according to Romans 5? And that's a very, very clear verse. Here's what it says. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, or justifies the wicked in some translations, their faith is credited as righteousness. So who does God justify?
The people who trust him.
The people who trust him, but who have recognized what about themselves?
That they have nothing to offer.
That they have absolutely nothing to offer. David finally came to that point in his life. I mean, he had sinned with Bathsheba. He had sent her husband to the front lines of battle to be killed. So he had those sins on his account, and he knew there was nothing to get those erased. So he finally came to the point and said, I'm done apart from your mercy.
Yeah.
And he cried out for the mercy of God, and that's what he received. Why? Because God chooses to justify the ungodly. He chooses to justify the wicked. So I've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So what did I have to conclude about me, about myself, that brought about that justification? The fact that I, in and of myself, was ungodly, that I was wicked, that I was a sinner, that I was not seeking God on my own. That's what I had to conclude about myself, that I wasn't basically good, that myth needed to go away. And I believed at one time that I was basically a good person and that I just needed a little help from God and I would finally get there. But that's not true. So if you believe you're basically good, would you let go of that? And if you let go of that today, I guarantee you, you will start seeing yourself letting go of those past sins and going free in the grace of God.
Friends, we're glad that you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel from the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. You can find it and the book by the same name at simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Keep in mind that your questions are one of the primary fuels for this Basic Gospel radio program, and we know that many of you are not able to call when we're actually on the air live, and we have, I know that your questions are important to you. They're important to us, too, so let us hear from you. We have three good ways for you to get your question to us. One, overnight or over the weekend, you can record your question on a voicemail message by dialing our call-in number, the regular number, 844-322-2742. It's available around the clock, day in and day out, 844-322-2742. Second way, while you're online, you can record your question when you click the radio tab at basicgospel.net. Or finally, you can send us an email. Address it to bob@basicgospel.net. If you record your question now and sometime over the weekend, you just might hear it played back and answered on Monday or Tuesday. That would be a fun thing to do, and we would love to get your question and offer an answer. Well, that does it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to have a great weekend of the Lord Jesus, and join us again on Monday for Basic Gospel.